Call. I've got to get to Frank Farriker, who's our Frank, do you have Frank's a Democrat who's anti-tolls. We talk to him regularly. You have any theories on this Epstein thing?
Yeah, well, I was at my Bilderberger meeting earlier.
Oh, good, good. You were with all the rich and powerful.
I was talking to a couple of fellow Illuminati, and we figured that somebody really rubbed him out. I think I think you know, if you're going to go for a conspiracy theory, it's got to be that Clinton and Trump locked arms together to find a way to eliminate this menace from their life. Either that, or he was a guy with $500 million in the bank who was living in the jail that El Chapo referred to as worse than hell. So I can see you might make a guy want to kill himself.
Well, sure. And for me, I like your conclusion better, because there still has to be something insidious going on for him to have not been on suicide watch, if that's the truth. And for him to have been left alone all night for several hours, they say. His every 30-minute inspection wasn't happening.
I'm sorry. No matter what you are correct that the most obvious answer is sometimes the right answer. In this case, immediately I'm like, okay, what's the angle? You know, the day after, my favorite one was that Queen Elizabeth set him up. Because as you know from the LaRouche folks, Queen Elizabeth is the single biggest drug dealer and murderer in the world. And
no, I didn't know that.
Yes, and her son Prince Andrew was implicated just the day before. So I suppose they sent 008 over to take care of business in New York.
All right, we're going to get a quick traffic and weather update, and then we'll see if we can make Frank Farriker serious about something here, because he's obviously entertained by our imaginations. 860-522-9842. Frank Farriker is our guest. He's a regular here, a Democrat who opposes tolls. Gives us a little different perspective, and there is a drollness and cynicism that's delightful about Frank. So thank you for adding it. So if we just look at the official story here, Frank, I'm not sure what your reaction is to the official story, which is a story of gross incompetence, if we take what are the supposed facts to heart that we're being presented right now, which is a guy who was suicidal, was taken off suicide watch. He was supposed to be checked every 30 minutes, 24/7. What we're hearing from those involved is that they didn't do those every 30-minute checks because they were too overworked and tired, and maybe they were asleep. And one of the guys was no longer a full-time prison guard, but he had been trained in doing prison guards before, and that there's supposed to be videotape, but there's none available that would actually show what happened. It just goes on and on in a way that's inexplicable. How do you react to that fact pattern?
I just don't think that anybody who followed this in the slightest bit could not want to think that there's some kind of crazed conspiracy here. I mean, that's been set up for us for years now. He was this. Bill Clinton went to his orgy island. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump introduced him. He introduced Donald Trump to Melania. You know, he had this unbelievable sweetheart deal. There were hints that he was a foreign agent. It has all the sexy stuff of a novel. But I just think probably in reality, maybe we should look at our prisons instead of looking at the excitement of this, because everything that I've heard so far, sadly, makes perfect sense.
In terms of the incompetence. So you're where I am on this.
Yeah, we underfund our prisons. We if we don't underfund them, we farm them out to private prison people who, you know, they even do less for folks. I mean, in the press that you don't read on the liberal side, lately there have been all sorts of stories of avoidable deaths in prison. Mm-hmm. Because of all the various amounts of incompetence that takes place in some places. So, you know, did they blow the big one here? I think probably. I think they had one of the biggest prisoners they could have ever had, and they just screwed it up. Or Queen Elizabeth came over and took care of business.
I like the idea of her as an evil character. That works for me. Just something about her look, you know?
Yes, the Lyndon LaRouche people. If you Google them. Queen Elizabeth is the biggest drug dealer and the biggest murderer in the world. It's all
right. So, what do you think needs to happen with prison reform. We're talking with Frank Farrakhan. Oh, by the way, I just have to correct one thing. I read liberal newspapers all day because that's the only kind of newspaper there really is. So I'm very tapped into liberal news.
But
explain, please.
Explain which? What we should do about prisons?
Yeah.
I think, first of all, without question, I think that we have way too many people in prison. We have to look at ways that we can get people out of prison. We're not doing that.
Well, but we've got a 60% recidivism rate.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the idea of letting huge bunches of people out of prison doesn't sound like a smart idea.
You know what? Where do you start the job of taking people out of the system? I mean, the first great idea was to start getting people with marijuana convictions out of jail. Then the second one was to try to find people with nonviolent offenses, non-property crime offenses, to try to find people to get out and find ways to get them back into society.
Okay.
You know, we don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, Jeffrey Epstein wanted to stay, he wanted to stay in his $80 million, his house, and they wouldn't let them. And I think that was probably the right idea. But I think in general in society, we need to do more of that. We don't do that. We don't pay the money for the jails. We don't even pay the money for public defenders. We can't even figure out whether our system that we have is working properly. We don't. It's the trial comes up, people go to jail, they come out, and then we're like, yeah, you're on your own. Yeah, most of them. And I had a guy work for me once, great guy. He got out of jail, and then what was the first thing he did when he got out of jail for his minor drug crime? He tried to rob me. So I understand completely that,
yes,
the idea.
But and I'm with you that obviously there should be a series of hoops you jump through over the period of years that you're locked up, where there it is right over, where everybody can point and say, Joe, you want to make it out and you want to have the skills and the steps, the rungs on the ladder available to pull yourself up. You go down that road right there. It's up to you. You get to decide. And then by the time you're letting them out, you're not making a decision. They've already made their decision for you.
Mm-hmm. And we don't let them back into society because forget about having a prison record and getting a good job, no matter what it was. I mean, I think it's understandable that an employer might want to know, but so many of these guys have it. And prison is, from what I hear, it's beyond horrible. And no, nobody should get a vacation, but the idea that a guy who's in there for possession of marijuana and a guy who's in there for, three murders have to experience the same sort of horrible experience in prison, which leads to bad behaviors and the kind of recidivism that we want to avoid. But, this prison in New York sounds like a hellhole, And yes, do I want El Chapo's going to Supermax. He can go, he'll be in this hole forever and he was adjudicated and deserves it. But when you've got guys, in the middle, and they said it's 23 hours a day and the lights are left on for 23 hours. I mean, that's torture. That's borderline. I can see why a guy would have wanted
to. Well, you just put the pillow over your head. Come on, Frank. You're being dramatic. All right. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again next week.
Take care.
Frank Farrakhan is an anti-toll Democrat who appears here regularly.